Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Hey, I'm the pastor here. Many of you, this is your first time visiting. And anytime I've got an opportunity to talk to a new crowd of people, I always like to just give a little bit of my story, and I think it'll help go into our message a little bit tonight as we're celebrating these new lives and dedicating babies tonight, and then we're also celebrating the giving over of the heart, the submitting of the life to Jesus in the expression of baptism in a couple of people. When I was 18 years old, I was an atheist. So long before I was a pastor, I was about as far on the other side of things as you could be. And as an atheist, I was a committed atheist, and more than that, I was a persecutor of the church. Anybody that thought they were a Christian or claimed to be a Christian, I just gave a hard time to, because when you don't believe that there's a God, the idea of worshiping an invisible, not real God is kind of silly. And I was very much a persecutor of the church, and most of what that looked like was my friends that would get up early on Sunday mornings and have to, you know, give up some of their weekend in order to be able to go to church. I just would give them such a hard time. Until something crazy happened in my life. And I was at a point in my life where I just, to be candid, was really well-liked at my high school. I had a lot of things going for me. And I always had everything land my way. I don't know if you guys have ever known people like that, that just, they could always, you know, sneak out of something. It just always lands right for them. I just had that all my life. I don't know. I never got in trouble, though I was always doing terrible things to get in trouble for. And I get to the end of my senior year, and the girl that I'd been dating for a number of years broke up with me, and I found myself at a low point that I couldn't explain. It was just, I just got so sad, just really probably depressed is an accurate description of life. And for the first time in my life, I didn't feel like I was in control anymore. I was always able to make things go my way and you know, just get things to land the way that I wanted, where I wound up on top, and I couldn't fix this situation. Now, I'll tell you, quite honestly, I was not looking for God at all, though I was looking for a way out of my, sad heart. And my best friend, who had just started walking with the Lord, he had just started getting his life with Jesus together, and these ideas that he was sharing with me just seemed so odd and weird, and he was probably the primary person I was giving a hard time to at that point, was my best friend, about going to church and what a dumb idea that was, and, you know, giving your life to God, that just sounds like, you know, religious boo to me. So anyway, he comes up to me one day, and I'm in the midst of this, you know, sad state of affairs, and he said the perfect words, because he knew me so well. He said the perfect words. He comes up to me, and he said, "Brad, I know you're so arrogant, you won't do this." I was like, "Who you calling arrogant?" Of course, he was so right. I was so arrogant. In fact, the only reason I was even going to listen to anything else he had to say is because he called me arrogant, so I wanted to prove him wrong that I wasn't arrogant, which, of course, is the most arrogant thing you could possibly do. And so he says, "I know you wouldn't do this because you're so arrogant, but if you'd ask God for help, he'd help you. I know you're sad right now. I know you got hurt in your heart. I know you don't believe in God, but if you would ask God for his help, he would help you." And I said something like, "You're an idiot, whatever, your God's not real." But I wanted desperately not God. I didn't care about that. I wanted desperately to show my friend that he was an idiot. That was really my heart's desire. This is a very pure heart here, you can tell. And so I wanted to be able to go home and pray, or whatever it is he thought I was supposed to do, in order to show him that his God was not real, to be able to go back the next day and tell him that he was an idiot. I mean, this is, again, I'm just being as candid with you here as I can be. Again, a pastor now, I've obviously changed my opinion on these things. So that night I go home, and I pray the first time I can ever remember praying, and it was probably the most ghetto prayer that heaven has ever heard to date. I said something like, "God, if you're real," because I'm sure you're not, "you can help me." My friend says that anyway. I don't really think he's right, and I don't really know why I'm talking to the air right now. But if you're real and you can help me, then help me. And now I'm expecting fully for the conversation to be over and for me to be able to then go the next day and say, "I sincerely tried your God thing, and it didn't work." Imagine my surprise when all of a sudden the room, I don't know how to describe this from my perspective then any better, from an atheist perspective, as I felt the thickness of God come into the room right then. And in about 1 second, I was no longer an atheist anymore. And I felt the presence of God in the room. And while I had been sad and in a terrible state of affairs for a couple of weeks, all of a sudden I felt joy hit my heart. Now again, I was an atheist a minute ago. I feel God's presence in the room. I'm feeling such joy. I would describe it now as the joy of the Lord. I didn't have words then. I started laughing out loud uncontrollably. I encountered the joy of the Lord. This is how I gave my life to Jesus. I was an atheist. I prayed a prayer. I wasn't even intending to have a real conversation with anybody because I didn't think there was anybody on the other end of the phone. And all of a sudden, I'm now encountering God in my room, realizing there is a God. He's a personal God, and he's willing to answer prayer and encounter even the worst of human beings. Well, that's the beginning of my story, but it's not where we're going tonight. I started to go to church. And the next day at school, because it was a weekday, oh my goodness, all my friends that I had been persecuting in the, you know, months prior and years prior, I'm like, God, get me into my room. I don't have any language for this, you know. God was in my room. I don't know. He was just there, and it was thick, and I laughed, and it was great. God's real. And they're just looking at me like, this is another one of your pranks. You're trying to pull one over on us because none of us have ever heard of anything like that before. We don't know anything about that. And I started to realize a couple of things. One, the kindness that the Lord showed me that night was kind of unusual. I mean, that was a really, really unusual encounter that I had that night. And the second thing that I started to realize as I started to go to church with all those friends of mine that were going to church every Sunday is there were a good number of those folks, those friends of mine, that had gone to church their whole life, and they didn't know the God that I just met a week before, 2 weeks before. There were many, actually, that I started to realize had been in Christian circles, had been church attenders, that had been going to church all their life, and they did not really know Jesus. And somehow, like winning the lottery, I just prayed a prayer I wasn't even meaning, and in a moment, I got an encounter with God that made him so real that I told him I'd serve him the rest of the days of my life. Well, something else happened to me in that short period of time, those early days of me trying to figure out who God was and praying every day, not because somebody told me I had to. I just wanted to talk to God. Reading the Bible because I was hungry to know who God was. Nobody told me I needed to. I just wanted to know God. I started to realize something in those early days, and that was that many of the friends that I had that I was going to church with, they didn't have genuine relationships with Jesus. They knew how to go to church. They knew how to play the game. They knew how to be in a Christian environment and wear the Christian mask, but they didn't actually know Jesus because they weren't living for Jesus. I started to realize that in that period of time, that to know Jesus, it messes you up. I mean, if you know God versus if you don't know God, you are a completely different human being. I mean, I saw it happen in my own life because I was a committed atheist. And then I came to know the Lord, and my life changed. My desires shifted. I still messed up. I had a potty mouth. I was working through all kinds of crud. But my heart's desire changed because I became a new creation in Christ. And that's what happens when we give our lives to the Lord. And what I didn't realize was that the Lord was actually setting me up for something. You know, we talk about evangelism. Our friend ATN takes a group out, you know, on Mondays, and they're hunting for people that need Jesus. I love it. And I spent some time in the mission field evangelizing to Muslims, spent a little bit of time over in Africa and just preaching the gospel to Muslims. But in all of these different things, I started to realize that really my primary mission field, the one that I felt like the Lord was speaking to me about the most, was, Brad, do you remember all those folks that you used to go to church with that didn't actually know Jesus? And they're lost and going to hell just as much as the Muslim that doesn't know Jesus. Just as lost as the atheist that doesn't know Jesus. That there are so many that know the Christian language, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus. And that's my heart's burden. And so tonight, I actually want to aim the message at us, not them, not the far away, not the, you know, that far off people group, not those atheists. I want to aim the message tonight at us, and I want to talk about genuine relationship with Jesus. Because I'm telling you, it changed my life. It set me free. It gave me so much hope and life and truth. My life has never been the same. I have been messed up from that day until this one. And that's what happens when God comes into your life. And I want to give some hope tonight for some of you. If there's some of you in the room and you're like, this is the most uncomfortable moment. Oh my goodness, I've been hijacked. I came for a baby dedication and now I'm being confronted with this whole conversation about needing God. That's awesome. You got hijacked. Congratulations. Tonight might very well be the moment that you get to become alive in your heart for Jesus. Tonight might actually be the first time that you turn your heart over to Jesus and let him take the wheel. Let him start steering the boat. Let him be in charge of your life instead of it just being you. I got a few verses I just want to share with us tonight. We won't be long. We have got a lot of babies we need to talk about. And some folks that need to get a little bit of water on them too, out in the back behind by the pool. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time tonight, but I just want to talk to you about a couple of verses. If we can put Isaiah 53 verse 6 up on the screen. It's a verse you guys are probably familiar with if you've kind of been around, you know, church a little bit. It says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him," speaking about Jesus, "the iniquity of us all, the sin of us all of our mistakes, all of our errors, all of our evil thoughts and wicked deeds and all the things that we, you know, that we've done wrong that have been a sin against God." But I just start off with that first line, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned and we have found our own version of life." Each person. And I just want to ask you tonight just a couple of questions. In this whole conversation about who God is, in this whole conversation about where are you at with Jesus, with God, here's a great question to ask yourself. Are you still living your way? Are you still living life like you're in charge of your life? Are you still living as though you are the person in charge of your life? Are you still living your way? Because in this scripture, this is God, through the prophet Isaiah, talking about the universal problem in humanity. We have all gone astray from God, and we've all identified our own life plan, our own way that we're going to live, our own objectives in life, our own purposes and desires. And the whole purpose of this that God's trying to call us to is he's actually calling us into his way. I knew that one. When I came to know the Lord, I had a way about my life. I was in charge. I was living the way I wanted to. I went where I wanted. I did what I wanted. I said what I wanted. I worked where I wanted. I hung out who if I wanted. I did whatever I wanted because I was in charge of my life. But Jesus actually wants to invite us into his way. And the problem is that as long as we're still living like we're in charge, like we're really the one that's in charge of our lives, then we're still responsible for that life. We're still responsible for all the mistakes, all the error, all the sin. We put up another verse, Romans 10:3. This is talking about really just the state of all of our hearts without Jesus. The state of all of our hearts without being submitted to him and his purposes. So they did not know the righteousness of God. They did not know Jesus. They didn't have Jesus in their life in a real way. It doesn't mean you didn't go to church. You can go to church all you want and still not have Jesus in your life. It says they did not know the righteousness of God and they sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. And just to decode that line a little bit for you, here's the issue. All of us, like sheep, have wandered away from the good shepherd. We've all wandered away and we've all found our own puddle of mud. Your puddle of mud looks like this. You caught yourself in a thorn bush. You wandered off too far. You found yourself in a desert with no water. All of us have found our own way away from God, and we desperately need him. And as long as we're away from him, we are actually responsible for this issue of our separation from God. It says that all of them, they did not know God's righteousness, and they invented for themselves their own. I don't know how many times I've talked to people, good folks, you know, church-going folks, that talk about the good deeds that they do in their life as though somehow those good deeds will cover over some of the less good deeds that they've done, some of the foolish mistakes that they've done, some of the thought life that they wish and hope nobody knows about, some of the actions that they have on the sidelines. There's hope that if they just do enough good things, if they, you know, if they tip the offering bucket and if they help somebody out and if they speak kindly to somebody, if they're a good friend and a good dad, somehow that will make up for the fact that they have sin in their hearts and that they're not right with Jesus. And the Apostle Paul here in Romans tells us that won't work. Says we can't invent our own righteousness. We can't come up with our own plan. There is no way to get right with God in and of ourselves. We've got to submit to God's righteousness. I want to spend a few minutes on this word submitting, and then we're going to pray. That word submit is tough. Anytime I hear that word, I always think about the dog whisperer with his hand on a big dog, getting his face down on the ground, trying to convince the dog that he's the alpha. You know, submit. You know, if you guys have ever seen that show, the dog whisperer, he's always trying to get dogs to realize, you know, that they need to calm down and not be so wild. And he always tries to establish himself as the alpha in the relationship when he comes in order to be able to train those dogs. And so I always have this picture when I hear that word submit. It's kind of like an ugly, like kind of a violent scene, because you see this dog going, arr, arr, arr. And you've got the dog whisperer with his hand on the dog's face, and the dog's on the ground, and the dog whisperer refuses to move his hand until the dog stops fighting. And it's like, just submit, just lay down already, give it up. I'm the dog whisperer, you're just the doggy, I got you, I own you. And as soon as the dog just kind of like chills out, well, now they can actually start making some progress. That word submits a lot like that. And it's a word that we don't like. It's a word I don't like still today, and I'm working on submitting. But man, it's a tough word. And yet God, he draws a line in the sand. And this is where it's tough, and this is honestly where I'd invite you to do a little self-check tonight. This is where God draws a line in the sand, and he doesn't give us any room. It's not like you can either submit or you cannot submit and play the game, and you're still good to go. There's only one way. We have got to submit our lives to the Alpha. We got to submit our lives. We got to just realize I'm not in control. I'm just a peewee on the earth. I've got issues. I've got sin in my life. I am not the boss. I'm not smart enough to be the boss of my life. And it says this. It says, they refuse to submit to God's righteousness. Well, what is God's righteousness? It's Jesus. It's coming into relationship with Jesus and letting him become the Lord of our lives. The Lord of our lives. You know, when you start thinking about the idea of lordship, of someone being the Lord of your life, it means now they're the ones calling the shots. Now they're the ones in charge. Now they're the one that is actually making the decisions for our life. It just so happens that the one that we're talking about tonight, about submitting to, is the kindest, wisest, most loving person that has ever been. Now, if you're talking about submitting to the dog whisperer, you might have a problem because he's got some issues, I can tell you right now. But submitting to the kindest, wisest, most loving person that has ever been, now that's actually a smart plan. It's 100% win. Because when we submit to God, he has only good plans for us. He has only right ideas for us. He has only the best in mind. And his version of the best for your life is so much smarter than your version. I mean, you and me, we put all of our brains together in this room. One, that would be gross. And two, it still wouldn't amount to much. You put all of us together, all our head knowledge, all of what we got, we still show up at like a negative one on the scale. And God shows up day one without any study at a bajillion. He's brilliant. He has perfect understanding of everything and everyone, and he has plans for our lives, but we don't get to enter into those plans as long as we're still in control, as long as we're still the one driving the ship. I go back to my friends that I can remember sitting around in Sunday school. And I can remember Sunday morning being in church with them, and they're answering the questions in the Sunday school class. And the night before, they were out at the party. They were totally plastered. They're cheating on their tests that week. They're totally out of line. I mean, they're just messed up. They're in sexual immorality. They're in 100 versions of stuff that you wouldn't really call Christian. It's because they didn't know Jesus. They weren't hypocrites. They were lost. They weren't hypocrites. We talk so many times about all those hypocrites. Did you ever think that maybe they weren't hypocrites? Maybe they just didn't know Jesus. Maybe they were in the system. They were on the roll in the Sunday school class. But how many of them don't actually have a genuine relationship with Jesus because they've not submitted their lives to him yet? They were still in charge of their life. And as long as we're in charge of our life, we can't have the life that God wants for us. And that's what he wants. He wants us to submit to him, to give our lives to him. And I want to give you a final verse here, and then we'll pray. Let's bring up Isaiah 66:2. Isaiah 66:2. Tonight, I want to tell you that part of our issue is that We really, really like being the ones in control of our life. Part of our issue is we don't really believe that God would steer the ship better than us. Part of it is we're just so proud. We've lived our, maybe, you know, you've gone 10, 20, 30 years of living in church life, but not actually submitting yourself to God, letting him be the Lord, letting him be the ruler, the one that gets to drive the ship. But here's the good word tonight from the scripture. There's 100 verses that say the same thing. It says this: these are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit. 1 Peter 5 says similarly, God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. I want to tell you tonight, it does not matter what dumb things you've done this week. It does not matter how far you've run away from God. It does not matter what position you came into tonight into this room, what designation you'd say, well, you know, I'm Christian, I'm Lutheran, I'm atheist. It does not matter how you came in. What matters is what you do right now. The Lord says he will respond with favor to humility. That's humble to say, God, I need you. Especially if you've been in meetings like this before and you passed over the chance and you passed over the chance and you passed over the chance. It takes real humility, but I want to promise you something. As an atheist that deserved nothing good, I promise you, the Lord met me in my weakest version of humility you can imagine. Talking to God and saying, if you're real, help me. I'm telling you, I know you can pray better than that, because that was about as ghetto of a prayer as heaven's heard. You're not real, but if you are, help. He heard that and pretended it was humility. I'm telling you, you can do at least that tonight. If you'll respond to him tonight, he wants to bring you what the scripture calls a season of refreshing. If we can bring that scripture up, great. If not, I'm just going to read it. It's Acts 3:19. If you'll come to him humbly, if you'll ask him for help tonight, if you'll say, God, I've never made you the Lord of my life, Jesus. I've been running from you, Jesus. I've never actually submitted. I've gone to church. I've done all the religious stuff, but I've never actually been one who submitted and humbly come before you and made you in charge before. The scripture says in Acts 3:19, repent then and turn to God tonight, so that your sins would be wiped out, every last one of them, and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Times of refreshing in your soul. You feel weary, you feel burdened, you feel stressed, you feel angry, you feel far from God. The scripture promises that he will send you a season of refreshing in your heart. Refreshing from God is way better than the morning air. Refreshing from God is way better than any blessing or pleasure in the earth. The refreshing, the renewal of God, he says he'll bring it to you tonight if you'll humbly come to him. So I'd like to pray, and then we'll invite our children's pastors up for the time of baby dedication. If you would, just pray with me. Just close your eyes and look, I want to encourage you. I'm not going to invite you up here. I'm not going to have you raise your hand. I want to encourage you, have a moment with God right now, like I did, like an atheist did in his bedroom that didn't believe that there was anybody on the other end of the conversation. Have a moment with God right now. God, we ask you tonight, Lord, that you'd speak and that you'd lead our hearts. And Father, if there are any in this room that need you, I pray that you would bring your sweet presence like you did into my room. Let your sweet presence rest on them tonight, that they might give themselves to you, find themselves fully forgiven, and be able to walk in the joy of the Lord in a season of renewal. Holy Spirit, tonight, I just want to encourage you, if this is you tonight, just pray under your breath. Just start talking to him. Tell him you're sorry for your sin. Ask him for his grace to rest on your life. There's no model prayer. There's no methodology. It's just relationship with Jesus. I want to encourage you, keep your eyes closed for just a second. I'm going to let it be quiet for just a second. I want you to pray wherever you're at in your walk with Jesus tonight. Never started one. You've been walking with Jesus for 10 years, 100 years, whatever. Have a conversation with him and just say, I need you. I need you more in my life. And just let him speak to you back. Holy Spirit, speak and lead and draw hearts to you. No one comes to the Father unless you draw them. So I pray, draw hearts tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you found some sweetness in that 20 seconds of quiet we just did, I want to encourage you, you can find 20 seconds of quiet anytime there's 20 seconds. You can talk to Jesus anytime, all the time, and his presence will rest on you. I just want to encourage you, if you prayed that prayer tonight, if you're praying and asking the Lord to move in your life, I want to encourage you, don't stop. Continue on in that relationship and find what it means to have a life in God. So at this time, I want to have our children's pastors come up, Brett and Amy Ader, and they've got a little bit of instruction for us, and we're just so grateful to have the most amazing kids ministry. I'll tell you what, our church is not large in size, but a third of them are under 8 years old. I mean, for real, we got an incredible children's ministry here, and not just because we have a bunch of kids, but because we have incredible, caring, loving, wise children's pastors who I'm now going to hand over to and let handle the rest of the night. So this is Amy Ader, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Brad. Well, welcome to Baby Dedications. I just want to right now, if you have a baby that you are dedicating, we have the first couple rows on this side reserved. So you can just make your way with your child over to this seating and try to get in alphabetical order. Brett will be over there to help you with that. So I just want to take a few minutes as they're doing that to talk to you a little bit. I've been praying over these kids and, you know, just letting the Lord speak to me about them all this week and the week before. And this is a crazy, fiery-hearted generation that the Lord is raising up. As I was going through the list of names, all of their names meant fiery one. Praise, the one who ushers in the praise of the Lord, all warriors, all of them. You will be able to see when we do the slides that has the meanings of their names. And I just want to give an encouragement, something that I was feeling like the Lord was speaking over these children and the Lord was admonishing and just kind of a call to parents. It's so easy to be growing up in this ministry environment and to fill our, and even just American culture, and fill our children's lives with stuff and just more and more stuff, activities, things. If your children are going to go far in the Lord, you're going to have to pull those weeds out so that the Son of God can shine in. So we are not the molders of our children. We have to give them to the Lord and say, you mold this, you shape this, you take this child and make this life valuable. These are not our children. These are, we are just stewarding them for this season right now. They're not ours. I'm looking at a generation past coming to see grandchildren being raised, and I'm sure you can attest to the fact that no matter how hard you try to make a child into what it's supposed to be, it never really works out that way, does it? You can't really determine the life path because there's a maker that has already determined the path. All that we can do is put them in soft, fertile ground and say, grow. We can water it. We can pull back the weeds. We can keep the foxes out, but we can't make it grow. We can't make it into the thing that it's supposed to be. Only God can do that. That's why we're dedicating these children to the Lord. That's why we're giving them to the Lord right now. And I just want to encourage you as parents, let the Lord do his work. Sometimes you're going to have to stand back and say, Lord, this child, I don't know what to do. I give them to you. I hand them over to you. That's all we're doing right now is we're saying, they're yours. They're yours, Lord. And he's going to give you wisdom, and I believe he's going to impart to you. So we're going to have the first couple come up, the Certezas. And I'm just going to give them an opportunity to speak, and then we'll have their small group leader come up and pray over them.
Yeah. Her name is Naomi Louise, and it means delightful or pleasant warrior. And when I named her, I wasn't really thinking deeply about the meaning of the name. But now thinking about it, it's really, I think it was God's plan that we name her that way, because in her, look at her, she's so cute. And so she's happy and delightful and pleasant. She just gives joy. But in her, there's a lot of intensity and fire in her that we see. You know, when she looks at us, she's just so inquisitive, and you can tell that there's like a warrior. You know, there's intensity and fire within her. And I just feel like God has, even though delightful and pleasant and warrior seems like two opposite things, that God it combines it and makes it something beautiful. And one thing that when she came out, and now that observing her, I just see God's beauty. Like, she just reflects God's beauty to me and to us. And every time I look at her, I just overcome with God's creativity and just awesomeness. Because she's just so cool. And so Naomi Lewis, do you have anything?
All right. Father, I just thank you so much for the blessing of Naomi, to Jack and Louise. God, I just want to ask you that, Father, you would reveal yourself to her at such a young age with dreams in the night. Father, I want to ask that you would move on this young girl's heart, that you would stir up, God, the gift of prophecy within her, Father, and ask that she would be one who hears your voice and delights to follow your will all of her days. God, I ask that you would guard her from plans of the enemy, just from the deception of this world, and that you would just set her as a lover of your son, Christ Jesus, for all of her days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Here's your Bible. So just parents, so you know, during ministry time, you can come. During ministry time, or not ministry time, children's ministry, we had the children pray and seek the Lord for words and pictures about the children. So some of you will have an extra sheet of paper where the children have words that they've given to your children, and some of you will not, because we ran out of time, but we will get those to you. So.
The name, I'm going to say it real quick, the Tahila's name, because it's a unique name. We thought she was going to be a boy originally, so I was going to use that as a middle name, but turns out, ultrasound, she was a girl. And I have a friend who did a study on Tahila. It's actually Hebrew. It means spontaneous praise. And anyway, it struck a chord with me. Whenever you have a name that you know your kid's going to have, that name, it just sticks. And anyway, I'm going to give this to Ben.
All right. Just a little bit about her. She's really sweet and joyful and gentle and grabby. We dedicate her to Jesus today, and God has never-ending love for you, Tahila. Find authority in the judge. These are things that I've heard from God for her. Rest. You're going to see Jesus when he returns. You're going to be like the burning bush. God's going to clothe you with fire and passion for him. And God's going to give you musical instruments. And they're going to be powerful for bringing people to him. And look to Jesus, and be crucified like he was. And you're going to be the most glorious being in that humility. Learn from books and history. And you'll be able to go further into heaven through that. And you're going to be like your mommy spiritually. You'll lead multitudes and waves of united worship, fall madly in love with Jesus.
Yes. Lord, I just thank you, God, for Tahila, God, that you have set her for a time as this, God, that you've called her for something great, God. That you've called her to be a forerunner, Lord God, in this generation, that she will shine brightly on fire for you, God. And I just pray, Lord God, that you give her just a special encounter, Lord God, even at the young age, God, that she would be on fire, that her voice, Lord God, would be strong, God, to sing praises to you and worship to you, God, and also to preach your word, the God, the good news, Lord God, to all who need to hear, God. I pray that you would embolden her, Lord God, that she would just be set apart, God. In Jesus' name, Lord God, protect her, guard her from any attacks of the enemy, that she would be, Lord God, just be lifted up in the midst of those attacks, Lord God. We just thank you, God, for the parents. Bless the parents also. We just dedicate her to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey. So this is Judah Noel Aria, and this is Josiah Dietrich Blaze. And they're twins. We just wanted to share a little bit of our story with you guys. We went through a long journey of infertility before the Lord gave us these sweet babies. So about 2 years in, I was reading the story of Elijah and Elisha and the request for a double portion. And so about 2 years into our journey, we asked the Lord for a double portion when he opened my womb, just as a sign of favor and his love. And so our first pregnancy was a day before 5 years of trying. So one very gracious day, because that would have been a really hard anniversary for us. And he gave us twins. So that was really awesome. I also shared a story with a few others of y'all of a prophetic painting event that I got to go to about 2 weeks before the babies were conceived. And I was just listening to the Lord and painting, and I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea what the picture was. But afterwards, we prayed about it with other believers, and they said it was a womb, and they prayed for my womb. And I thought, okay, sure. You know, if the Lord's going to fill it, that's great. We waited a long time. But when we went in for our first sonogram with the twins, it looked almost exactly like their first sonogram. The shapes were exactly the same. There was a line down the middle of it, which means twins. And so just a lot of blessing from the Lord and getting to see his faithfulness and the provision of these two. So I just wanted to share that with y'all and anyone who might be struggling with waiting or seasons of suffering, that the Lord is faithful and he hears you and he's going to bless you. So. Yeah,
that's so good. And I can attest, I saw the painting and the sonogram, and it's uncanny.
Well, thank you, Lord. Father, we bless these two in Jesus' name. God, we ask you for Judah and for Josiah, God, that you would release the blessing of heaven on these two and mark their destiny, that you would clear their paths and make them straight, that they would walk in strength and in might and the grace of the Lord. I just proclaim love and prophecy over these two, that they would operate as a team in ministry, bringing multitudes to Jesus and making his name great. And Father, we ask you for provision and protection in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Aiden Timothy, and we honestly didn't know what to name him for the longest time, and it was actually a day after his birth that we finally elected my mom, and she came up with Aiden, and that was just a perfect name for him for some reason. It means little flame, and the way he cries, sometimes he's quite a little flame. he can be loud, but he's been a real good baby, and I just hope that he just has a good faith, that God gives him a good faith throughout his life. And then he follows God, and then he just doesn't make those mistakes that, you know, so many of us fall into during our teenage years and stuff. Just praise that he's a good, strong Christian man. I really don't have much to say, though.
Well, I just want to take a moment and say, as I was praying for Aiden, I really felt like the Lord said Samuel, and that he will be one who hears the voice of the Lord, and the Lord will honor him because he will honor the Lord. And so I just want to speak that over him in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to turn this over to Jack and Louise so that they can pray over you guys.
God, we just thank you, God. We just dedicate Aiden to you right now, God. He is yours, God. And I just pray, Lord God, that he would be such a blessing to his parents, God, that he would be an encouragement to them, Father, that you would just give him a supernatural boldness, Father, that he would be a fire like his name, God, that he would be set on fire a lot of people, that he would be a peacemaker, Lord God, reconciling those who need to be reconciled to you, Jesus. And Lord God, that he would be such an example, God, given encounters, Lord God, but God, even at a young age, to you, God, that he would turn to you soon. I just thank you, God, for Aiden, Lord. And I pray for a blessing for this whole family, Lord. And Lord God, just always take him in your hand, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Hello, all. This is little Finley J. Longreer. Her name means beautiful one who does not date until marriage. And she's already displaying that character that we've really been trying to help, you know, the Lord forge in her. So me and Steve are just grateful to have her. She comes as the first grandbaby to one great family and the third grandbaby to another great family. And we just, as her parents, want to see the Lord bring all that he has planned stored for her in her life. And so you as our community and our families, that's our hope for her. And we're doing our best, and we want to continue to. And so she's a bundle of joy. We're grateful to have her. Hopefully she'll be one of many more in the right time. And, yeah, Finley J., hands off. All right.
Father, we just thank you so much for this sweet family, Lord. And I just lift Finley up to you, and I just pray that you would just bless her, God, with a gift of compassion, Lord, that she would just overflow, God, the love that you pour into her for others, Lord, that she would just be one who just intercedes, God, for other people, God, and that you would just bless her and just keep her and just move on her heart on just such a young age. In Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, this little dude is Oliver, faithful olive tree. He's a little sleepy right now, but he's still a pretty happy guy. He's always good for a smile. In the mornings, he wakes up the complete literal opposite of me, and I'm not a morning guy, but he's just. He's always good for a smile, and I kind of feel like the new mercies of the Lord in the mornings are kind of coming through this little dude, because he doesn't smile to everyone like me, but we're good buddies, and so I like him a lot, and he's cute. That's all.
All right. Well, as I was praying for him, I just felt like the Lord said, it's funny, because even the kids before, like, just hearing his name, not knowing what it meant, they're saying, faithful. And so I really do believe that that was an aptly picked name, that he will be faithful, and he'll be rooted and grounded in the Lord. So.
Well, amen. Father, we thank you for Chris and for Hannah. And Lord, we ask that you would bless Oliver. God, I ask you for grace and strength. I ask you for the power of the Holy Spirit to love you and to receive your love, to extend it toward others. Father, I ask that you would give him the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. God, I ask that you would give him provision, protection, help him to be an amazing leader, an awesome example, one that is proclaiming the name of Jesus. And God, we ask you to bless him, protect him, in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is our son, Arrow, and his middle name is Jackson for several reasons, and one just for our granddad, Jack Longreer, And I wrote just a little some things, just kind of like were in my own heart for my son. And so to keep it short, and I'll read it out. So I said, "This is what I say for you from my days with you, that you'll see the Lord and know he sits enthroned on the praises of his people, that as a leader I will repent because I'm going to make mistakes, admit to you, and worship the Lord with you, bring you to prayer meetings, because I know that dedicating is more than what I want for your life, but what we will do with our lives with you. My son, I want you to live in a burning love for the only one at the youngest of days, to set your aim to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that you would fight sin and hate darkness and not be scared of the enemy. For this reason, I named you Arrow, because I want you to go in the mighty name of Jesus, destroying darkness, hidden in the Father's quiver, awaiting your days with patience to be pulled out and made ready and be used, your life to be nothing what the world defines as accomplishing and successful, but to be untouchable in the Father's love, to live hid in Christ, careless what man has to offer you, but to carry on in eternal reality. I named you Arrow because you are a weapon, and I want you to know the Lord I serve, and that your greatness and impact would go so much more than me, so when my time comes to an end, I can pull out my arrow and shoot as high as I can to send you off to places I couldn't get to and overcoming in victories with Christ. To be sent off, not to live long, but maybe even die young, with honor to our King, to not back down." And so for Psalms 127:4 and Isaiah 49:1-2 were the things I wanted to read, but I'll do it quickly. It says, "Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother. He named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow in his quiver, and he hid me away."
Father, I just thank you for Arrow. I just want to ask you, God, that you would, God, just move on him. I want to ask you, Father, just with songs. I just feel like you want to birth such beautiful music through Arrow. Father, I want to ask that you would release clarity of who you are as a father and who your son is as a redeemer of all humanity. Father, I ask you that Arrow would have such clarity of Christology and of who his maker is and the delight that his maker has in him, Father. I just want to ask you that he would be a beautiful, burning lover of Jesus all of his days, that he would keep himself pure and holy and blameless until he sees your son return to redeem him as his own. In Jesus' name.
This is Gabby. She's 3 weeks old. Last year, we had her all ready to be dedicated, and she got sick just a couple of days before, or really the day of a baby dedication. So she got to wait a whole nother year to be dedicated with her friends. But we are just so blessed by this little ball of fire and love. And I want to tell you real quickly how we named her. Amy and I always come to the deepest point of intense fellowship as a couple when trying to name our children, because she always thinks this way and I think that. And we were trying to settle on a name and really come to the name that the Lord had for us. And one day Amy was asking the Lord what Gabby's life was going to be marked by. And she really felt like the Lord just spoke to her the word devotion, just in her heart. And she hasn't had a chance to tell me that yet, but that same day I'm at the prayer room and I'm thinking and I'm pacing and I'm trying to come up with a name that I'm going to like, but that I think I can actually get her to agree to, which is tough. And so I'm thinking, I really like the name Gabby, but I just think Amy's going to just totally vote down Gabby. I'm like, maybe she'd go for Abby. I'll try to sell Abby. Okay, so I come home and I go, well, I came up with a name. How about Abby? And she goes, you know the Sanchez girls, they're going to name their next girl Abby. And I'm like, dang, well, what? Ours is first. I mean, we can do. And she goes, no, we can't do Abby. And I go, all right, fine. How about Gabby? That was really the one I wanted. She goes, well, okay, let's see what it means. We look it up and it means devoted to God. So it was totally the Lord. And so I just want to just speak those words over her. Gabby, you are going to love Jesus all your life. You're going to be devoted to him. You're going to be a friend of God. You're going to lead others. You're going to be so faithful to Jesus. And just as much fun as you are, you're also going to be sober in thought. You're going to love the Lord all the days of your life. Okay.
Well, Father God, Lord, we thank you so much for Gabrielle. God, we lift her up to you. God, we pray that you would, Lord, draw her near to you, God, all the days of her life, God, that her heart, God, would be so near to you and so completely devoted to you. God, would you woo her, God, into love sickness for you and you alone, and God, would you, God, accomplish all the things, God, that are on your heart for this woman of God. God, let no plan, Father, God, not come to fruition, but, Lord, have your way with her. God, in Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, we have we also have, in addition to dedicating all these wonderful babies, we have the great pleasure of baptizing a couple of our wonderful men of God.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.